Praise Jesus. This sermon title today is Be Fruitful, Being Fruitful. And I wrote down there, I added to say it's our whole purpose, it's our full-time purpose, being fruitful is. I want you to come with me to the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, I'm believing God that he will do what he has purpose to do in our hearts, that through these next few weeks, that as we go through this being fruitful, that the Holy Spirit of God will continue ministering to us and teaching us and training us. I'm ready to learn. I don't know about you. Amen. And the next thing, I'm also ready to be fruitful. If you're ready to be fruitful, just say amen. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse number 10. The King James Version of the Bible says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. It says, now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Let us pray. Abba Father, we sit at your feet today, expectant, hungry for you, hungry to hear from you this morning. We pray today, Holy Spirit of God, that your word will be effective in our hearts and impactful for us as individuals. How I pray, Jehovah Lord Almighty, that as a seed sown in us today, that it shall go forth to bring forth fruit, because you are a God who has such power. We love you, for you give the increase. Not only that, Father, but you supply us with the seed. We love you this moment. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. The Bible says, he who sows, he who gives seed to the sower, is what NIV would say. That he supplies seed to the sower. Seed is interesting because you see, every seed has got a plant in it. And every plant could have a seed. Praise God. Yet the Bible says that he is a father who provides a seed. Now, the title for the message today is Being Fruitful. And to be able to understand fruitfulness in the sense of the word, or to be able to understand why God would ask us to be fruitful, we have to go back to the beginning. We have to go back to a place where we get introduced to God. Now, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, it starts like this, you know, when nothing was there, in the presence of nothing. Yesterday somebody told me that there's something that is bigger than God, and I was trying to figure out what was bigger than God. Oh, wait. Yeah. And then finally they told me, well, nothing. And I learned that nothing is bigger than God, which was like awesome. Yeah, so anyway, when there was nothing, the Bible begins by saying in the beginning, which means there was nothing outside of the beginning. Nothing was in existence because that was the beginning. God existed outside of the beginning, before the beginning. Now God is looking to introduce himself to man. Now to the universe, pretty much, to everything, because, well, before him there is nothing else. But then he starts creating. And the Bible starts, the introduction of God to us that read the Bible, the introduction of God to all that there be, is simple. He says, in the beginning God created. Now that do you realize that God had everything else he could have said about himself? His introduction could have been anything. He could have said, in the beginning, God sat on the throne and everybody worshipped him. He could have said, in the beginning, God did marvelous things. But the Bible introduces us to God. It says, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, as we come to meet God, we meet God doing something. We meet God creating. We meet God doing something. We meet God being fruitful. After all, we are talking about being fruitful. So when God seeks to introduce himself, he says, I'm going to introduce myself in this way. I am fruitful. I do stuff. I create things. Out of nothingness and out of something. Out of existing things that are already there, I grab some of existing things and create other things from what's already existing. Sometimes I just create stuff by saying things. I am a creator. I am fruitful is what God says to everybody that would ever be introduced to him. So the Bible says that in the beginning, he introduces himself as a creator. I want us to go to the book of Genesis because that's where we're going to begin. So God introduces himself as a creator. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But then I want us to move on to Genesis chapter number 1 from verse number 22. Genesis chapter number 1 from verse number 22. Now if you read the Bible, you realize that there is Genesis chapter 1, an account of creation. Then there is Genesis chapter 2, another account of creation. The first one is what God did. Chapter 2 is how he did it. So chapter 1, it is what God did, and that's what we are going to read. Verse number 22, the Bible says, I think I'll start with verse number 21. So God has created everything on earth. He's created the waters that were bringing forth. He had created everything, and now he, verse number 21, and God created great wells. You remember the blue well, which I understandably, it is as bigger, it's bigger than a school bus. And so he created the well and everything that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. I want you to underline that part, after their kind, in your Bible. And then, even though that's where, not where we were going to read, but I would like you to do that because it's important. Which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse number 22. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the fowl multiply in the earth. So this one is not a blessing for man yet. This is God blessing all the creatures that he had created. The Bible says, verse number 23, and evening and morning, that was the fifth day. And on the sixth day, and God said, let the earth bring, verse number 24, sorry. The Bible says, and God said, let the earth bring forth. Again, underline that word, bring forth. We are going to talk about it here in a little bit. The living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps upon the earth after their kind, and God saw it was good. Sorry, I'm not even paying attention to that, so I apologize. And God saw that it was good. Verse number 25. And God made, okay, we read that. Verse number 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. Okay, underline that again. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse number 27. So God created man in his own image. Please underline that again, because he repeats that. He says, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth. Remember, the first thing that God is giving them is a seed. Every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And evening and morning came. It was the sixth day. So God is introduced to us as a creator. The Bible says that he starts creating things. But then the Bible says that he goes forth one day after he's created everything. He goes and from something that already exists. Remember, he has commanded the earth to bring forth. I can imagine, I picture in my head when everything was bare. You know, he's created the heavens and the earth. It is bare. It's brown. There was no greenery anywhere. Everything was flat and brown. Totally bare. And then God says, let the earth bring forth. Now, the reason I told you to underline that bring forth is because it is the same terminology, the same words that we use when somebody is pregnant and they give birth. They bring forth. So God speaks to the pregnant earth. And he says to the earth, I want you to now bring forth. I want you to bear right now. You see, God goes, the word of God works out, changes the formation of the earth's surface itself, changes the environment, changes the quality of the earth. And then something happens, something shifts in the originality of what earth is, that suddenly allows things to start growing. You see things sprouting and things becoming. And then he turns and he goes to the soil. He scoops some of the brown soil. This is something that already exists. Soil that he has created by his word. He grabs some of that. And the Bible says then he forms man. And he forms man in his image. Man is special because man has been formed in the likeness and in the image of God. Man is just special from the very beginning. In fact, before God creates man, the Bible says that he lays out the blueprint. He says, let us create man. He's speaking and he says, let us create man. And now this particular one, we are going to make it differently. We are going to make him have dominion. We are going to make him have authority. We are going to make him be a ruler over everything else that I've created. So he scoops the soil. That is, he says these things before he creates man. He says, I would like him to be an authority. I would like him to be in dominion, to subdue, to be over the fowls of the air, which means all the creatures in the air that fly, everything in the water and everything on earth. He says this particular creature that I'm going to create next is going to be the leader of all them. Okay? He scoops and then he creates. Now, if I was to have a meeting with one personality, human personality, let's say, oh, he died. That one died. I can't meet with that one. But if I was going to meet Nelson Mandela, for instance, and the next day, so I get flown to where he is, and I stay in a hotel. The whole night, the first thing, everything that will be going on in my head is, what is, when I meet Mandela, what is the first thing I will say? Like the whole night, that's going to be going on in my head. Because I know that the first thing that I say to him is going to either determine whether he likes me or just won't even listen to everything else I have to say. So God scopes clay. And throughout that night, God is thinking, what do I tell man? He's going to be the first one that can comprehend. The first one that can understand because I created it like me. I created him like me. What is the first thing I say to this man? So God creates man. He finishes creating man. And man is this robotic machine that is standing in front of him. He looks at him and he says, this is good. The Bible says, but then he breathes his air inside man. Now man is created by the soil. There is something that God created using his word. But then the breath that God puts inside man is not created. Ah, come on. Don't miss it. The spirit that God breathes inside you is not created. God is essentially putting a part of the immortality that he is, a part of who he is inside you. He breathes that inside man. Makes him totally different from everything else. Remember, everything else he had created, he created by his word. The soil that he used to create man, the body, the flesh, he created by his word. But this particular part that he does is not because of something that is coming from creation. It is because of something that existed before anything else, before time, before everything else, which was part of God. He breathes his air inside man. And then he opens his mouth. When man can comprehend, he opens his mouth and he says to him, be fruitful and multiply. Now, when we were growing up back in Africa, fruitful and multiply simply defined give birth to kids. I do not believe so though. I believe that fruitfulness and multiplication goes bigger, goes much greater than just giving birth to many children. I believe that God is speaking essence into man when he says, I want you to be fruitful and I want you to multiply. Think about it. God has created man. The Bible says that he gave him every fruit bearing tree, and then he gave him the seed that every inside of every fruit bearing tree there was a seed. Inside the seed was a fruit bearing tree. Now he creates man and then he puts his seed, the seed of God inside man. He breathes his seed inside man. Makes man instantly a creator. That is why immediately after this, the Bible says that he brings Adam and he says, I'm going to bring everything else that I've created so that you can name them. You can be a part of this creation that I'm doing. You can be a part of the work that I am doing. No, you're fine. It's our bad. We should have announced. So God creates this man and he puts the seed of God inside this human man. He puts his seed inside him. The seed that determines where this man is going to go. He creates man and gives man the capacity to start creating in the moment of creation because he's created him into in his image. Now think about it. Adam and Eve, the Bible says that they sin. Okay? They have never seen anybody cover themselves. They've never seen anyone cover themselves. When they discover they've sinned, which they discover their nakedness, the Bible says that they look around and they see an existing creature. And because they have got the seed of God in them, the seed that says you can use existing things to create things that are not, that every existing thing has got a seed in them, they take a lamb, they slaughter it, they make cloths. They take the trees, they strip the trees that are already in existence, they strip that and they make cloths. Then Eve becomes pregnant. Nobody has been to college to know how to help a person give birth. How did Adam know to tie the umbilical cord, to separate the umbilical cord from the mother? There was no university. God has created us and he has put his seed in us. When he says to us, be fruitful and multiply, he says this because he knows this is pre-installed in us. That fruitfulness and multiplication has already been put inside of us. So he's just telling us, hey, go become. I said in your bulletin, it is not hard for a mango seed to become a mango when you give it the right environment. It's not going to start thinking, should I be an orange? I wonder. It is a natural process for it to become what God has created it to be. The Bible says when God is giving instruction, he says every plant will come of its kind. Every seed will come, will give forth of its kind. You are of a kind. I wrote in a bulletin that we make mistakes when we start thinking that we are going to judge others' fruits according to our seed. Oh, you're missing it. We are so judgmental and pointing fingers because we think everybody has got our seed. Nah, everybody has got a seed that brings forth according to its kind. Whatever seed that God has put inside me is not the seed that God has put inside Seth here. And so if I start comparing myself with him, I am going to be very, very frustrated. Because of the seed of God that is unique, like your fingerprints. You are giving forth when the time comes, when the season comes, it's going to be so different from the giving forth that anybody else gives forth to. God shows man, he introduces himself, he says, I'm a creator, I do stuff, I make things. He has made you a creator. You have to find your area of dominion and be dominant in that area. You have to find what kind of a seed you are and naturally become that tree. Some of us are struggling because we are trying to become mangoes when we are banana plantations. And we struggle and we become frustrated and we don't like God. Our worship becomes a struggle because I'm trying to be something that God did not ever create me to be. He says every seed according to its kind. It is time for me and you as a child of God to say, if I'm going to be fruitful, I need to come back to the drawing board and ask the Lord, Lord, what kind am I? Which kind am I? And the moment you start discovering what kind you are, it becomes so easy for you. It becomes so natural for you. Be fruitful and multiply. Guys, this is the first thing that God told man. And do you know what? What you don't know is this. That God will judge you by that very statement. Throughout the Bible, God is very serious about fruitfulness. Jesus shows up with the grace. He shows up with the grace. I want to forgive. I want to forgive. I want you home. And then he tells this story. We're going to look at those two and close, because this is going to be a series. We're going to keep looking at these things. Luke chapter number 13, verse 6 to 9. The Bible says he spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, we will look at this comprehensively in a few weeks, behold, these 3 years I have come seeking for fruit on this tree, on this fig tree, and found none. Look at the instruction that Jesus Christ gives. He says, cut it down. The owner of the vineyard, when there is no fruit that is being brought forth, his instruction is cut it down. Why cumbereth growth? Why is it taking others? Why is it taking every other nutrient without giving forth? So the hairdresser, which Jesus Christ in this picture is saying is himself, he says unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well. If not, we shall cut it down. Fruitfulness is vital with God. It's vital with God. God expects fruitfulness because he has a seed inside you that needs to bear fruit. The other example where he shows how serious he is about fruitfulness, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 21, verse 18 to 19. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to eat and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig fruit tree withered away. Children of God, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is hungry. He's looking for a fruit. And he comes to this tree. In fact, if you read this in the book of Mark, the Bible says that the season, it was not the season for figs yet. That is tricky. Because you see, what God sees is not what we see. The expectation of God. Paul would later tell us this when he's writing the book of Hebrews. He says, some of you ought to be teachers, but you're now just hanging on like children, trying to eat just the milk part of the word of God. He says, I would rather that you chew on the flesh of the word. And I joke, I say we need to chew the bones of the word. The expectation, we will talk about this in a few weeks, the expectation of God when it comes to fruitfulness is we need to be fruitful in his time. To be fruitful, you will need to understand that you are one of a kind, and your fruit does not necessarily have to look like your neighbor's fruit, and that your fruit does not have to be similar to what the other person is doing. You are created in God's image, and your giving forth is going to be unique. It is going to be just like you. God says, I want you, man, to be fruitful and to multiply. I want you to be fruitful and to multiply. He says, I have created you. You're beautiful. This is one thing I want of you, is for you to be fruitful and to multiply. You know what amazes me? When I was in Kenya, every counterfeit product on the market came from China. But do you know biblically, the Chinese people are actually living out the word? A Chinese person looks at an iPhone and they understand the scriptures that inside an iPhone, there's a seed for an iPhone. It's an apple, I guess. They know that if they can study the way the iPhone was made, they can come up with something that is cheaper, but that has come from right inside that iPhone. Then when they, if it's a Nokia, they do not label it Nokia, they write Nokla. They understand. Guys, if you understand the seed, you do not have to be a believer. If you can understand, you will prosper. If you understand that there is a seed inside you that God is just waiting for you to find and become. Because when he created everybody, even those that have not come to know him yet, if they understand the concept of there's a seed inside me that can produce. In fact, everybody that has done amazing things, people thought they were weird. So you'll be weird. I tell my kids all the time, weird is good. Because we are unique, we are weird, we have been created separately in our own like, of our own kind. Strife should not be a part of a growing church. I understand my office. When I walk into a congregation, I know my office. I love God for Carl and my sister here. They come in, they say, I've been called to pray. And I tell Brother Carl, I would like you to announce something in church. He says, no. That's not of my kind. I will not thrive here. But you put me in the background to pray for the church. And I got it. Josiah, give me a guitar. I understand my kind. You give me a guitar and I might not say much. But man, when I'm done, people have been ministered to. I understand my kind. When you understand your area of dominance, because there's a, listen, when God is saying go and have dominion, he means that for every single one of us. This kid in Africa was part of a twin. And the twin passed on. He survived. But then he was, he had some mental challenges because you see, they were sharing oxygen with the twin. And so that never really panned out for him. He didn't get enough. So some of his brain was wired differently. And so he was, everybody came in and started saying, you know what, we need to institutionalize him. We need to put him in a place where they'll take care. And the parents said, no, we're going to take care. The mom quit her job. She started taking care of this kid. And so this kid was to be taken care of every day, 24 hours a day, continual care. And people looking at this woman wondered, why are they doing this? There are options, you know. And people started questioning the integrity of God. Why did he have to survive? Why not the other one that was okay, that got all the oxygen? Why did God allow him to live? He doesn't seem like he's contributing anything. So his kid sister started learning piano lessons. And so they brought in a tutor, because this was a wealthy family. They brought in a tutor to try and help teach the kid sister how to play. And so they came, the tutor came, sat down, taught. You know, of course, this one is a child who has issues mentally. Nobody ever wonders about him or tries to have him do anything. So he's just seated there. And the tutor goes through all the lessons with the sister. And he's listening. After they're done, the tutor goes to talk to the parent at the door as he's leaving. And the kid stands up, goes to the keyboard, and starts playing everything that the sister was taught, not for not. And this professor who was teaching the sister was like, what? You know, turns around and looks at him. And he comes and sits down beside him and he plays some notes. And the kid plays exactly the same notes. He increased the complexity. And every time he did, this kid would just hear and play. So they decided to bring in, you know, the teacher couldn't go any further in complexity. They started bringing in records. You know, they brought in Mozart and everything. And the kid was just listening by ear and playing everything on the keyboard. He went on to become one of the greatest musicians that lives today. There is a seed inside you that you want to bring forth fruit. There is a seed inside you. If you forget everything else, remember this. There's a seed inside you that wants to be brought forth. And when you begin understanding, when you understand your office, start having dominion in that area. Because there will be no one that could ever do what you do as you do it. There's no one that could ever be who you are as you are. They can do everything. They can ever be you. Because your seed is the seed of its kind, as God has commanded. It is not just any other seed. God was not like, what can we do? Make everything the same. He would have just made all bananas. But he says every seed has to be of its kind. You are of your own kind. Find your office and become. When you tell a mango seed to become, when your instruction is become, it grows. It becomes a mango tree. And it bears mango fruit. Number two thing. So number one, you are of a kind. Number two thing, the seed of God inside you cannot be compromised. The seed of God inside you cannot be compromised. The Bible says that they went outside and they planted the garden wheat. Then the Bible says that after the wheat started growing, the workers, they noticed that there was something else that is growing beside the wheat. And they come to the master. They say, Master, we have a problem. We have some weeds. I have to be careful to add the S. We live near Colorado. What do I say? We have weeds that are growing together with the wheat. Do you know what the master said? He says to them, it's okay. Let them grow together. So it does not matter where you are planted. Come on. It doesn't matter what is going on around you, your situation financially, your situation mentally, because the seed of God is inside you. It is not concerned about its integrity will never be compromised. It doesn't matter where it's growing. Allow yourself to discover who you are and see what God can do about it. God was not, the master was not worried that, if my wheat might grow into weeds. I love mangoes, you guys already have mentioned. If you took a mango seed and you threw it near a trash can, it is not going to grow into trash. What will come forth from a mango seed are mangoes. Guys, enough with the excuses. Become.
enough with, oh, do you know where I grew up? Do you know my circumstances? Oh, my marriage. Listen to me, become. Because when God placed that seed inside you, He knew the kind of circumstance that He was going to raise you in. In fact, every situation of your life was all come together to create the perfect product that you're going to be fruitful in. So there is no excuse for you becoming what God created you to be. He has created you of a kind. And He wants you to become everything that He has put inside you. Listen. Do you know that when man sinned, God could have simply said, enough. I'm going to make man 2.0. There is no record that the tables of creation were destroyed. There is no record. He could have just scooped another soil and be like, I'm going to create one that is better, that listens more. He could not do that because he had breathed something that is eternal inside this mortal being, robotic machine. Come on. There is something inside you that is goes beyond that. He said, no, I'd rather die so I can redeem this one because of what I've put inside. Whatever He's put inside you, it is so special. You have to walk shoulder high. You have to stand up and say, you know what? I am the son of the king. I am the creation that was created special. God has invested something so special inside me. I cannot walk like regular people anymore. Become. Become. Be fruitful and multiply. This microphone is somebody's seed. You are an idea away from being a millionaire. Just an idea. Somebody sits down and be like, this Zuckerberg. He sits down and he's like, what can we do with this, with the internet? He says, we can have people talk to each other. Do you know that that has made him a billionaire? An idea, a seed that is inside you that God already put. The same idea that Adam sits down and he's like, to give birth, I will need to separate the umbilical cord from the mother. And he does it. Their baby did not die. Because of the seed of God inside them. There is something of God inside you. There is something of God inside you. You can't walk like everybody else. There is something of God inside you. You can't try to compare yourself with somebody else. There is something of God inside you. That's why the Bible says, do not fret when the righteous are lifted up, when the unrighteous are blessed. And some of them, they just know the law of the seed. You have got a seed of God inside you. It's time to sit down and say, Lord, of what kind am I? Am I a mango or am I cacti? Children of God, become. You have a role to play on this earth that nobody else can play. My sister had a daughter, and she lived until she was 5 years and passed on. She literally died in my arms. On the day of the funeral for this child,
We had people, random people, come to the home of my sister. And they would greet us and say, they looked at my sister, they're like, "You are her mom?" They'd never met my sister. This girl had created an impact in the whole community. Like, she greeted everybody she know. She met, she told them something they had never heard before. She just spoke stuff. Since when she was 3 years old. Since the moment she started talking until when she passed on. That was her purpose. When people showed up, they had like a narrative. These were strangers we'd never seen before. Because she would go out, you know, back in Africa we have, when people go to work, you have people that watch your kids. So the girl that was taking care of her, she was this girl that went to the community a lot for some weird reason. And when she did, my sister's girl would speak into people's lives. You know, by the time she was, like, everybody had a different testimony of something she had said into their lives that really transformed their lives. She was just 3. You have got a seed of God inside you. You have a purpose that only you can play. Literally, when my sister's daughter died, I cried for only 2 days and I realized I don't have to cry. She had done her job. When everybody started coming and saying all this, I was like, you know what? She did her part. Let us stand up. When God looks at the world, and looks at the universe and everything is created, see, Jesus said it very lightly. He said that, or rather the Bible says that he attends the funeral for birds. When birds die, he shows up for the funeral. Do you know how tiny a bird is? Know how many birds there are? And when one of them, and he said a sparrow, which is one of the tiniest ones. He says, when a sparrow dies, he goes to the funeral. Then he says, you are more important than a sparrow. You, as an individual, you. It is time we start dealing with self-esteem issues by speaking the word of God into that area. I am created. It is me. I might not feel like it physically, but what's inside me is of immortality. What was breathed inside me is a seed that does not die. It's a seed that is impactful. It's a seed that can change the lives of many. A seed. That's what God breathed inside you. It is time that we start understanding just how special we are. We are not regular people. Sin had separated us from God. Then Jesus came and he created a way to bring us back to where we originally were so that we can be fruitful and multiply. Literally, fruitfulness and multiplication is so important to God, much more than your righteousness and your holiness, quote unquote. He wants you to be fruitful. He wants you to become. That's the, you know, the first thing he could have told man was, be holy. He looks at man and he says, no, be fruitful. Become. You can be fruitful in this generation. You are standing on the edge of something so powerful, so impactful for this generation. You are the key that will unlock that. You are the key that will change dimension, that will change lives and alter destinies. You are, and you have that key. It is you that holds that door. And when you become in your dominion and you start ruling, you start reigning in that area. Every piece falls in its place. I was saying, when God looks at the universe, he looks at all the puzzle pieces. And he sees that you are holding the most important one. When you can just flip it over and put it in that place, everything will flow the way it is. You have got a place to play in this church. You have a place to play in your workplace. You have a place to play everywhere that you go. Have dominion. Be fruitful. Multiply. Subdue the earth, which means have dominion, which means you are it. I want to pray for you. Maybe you're here and you're saying, I never feel like I'm being fruitful. Maybe you're here and you're saying, I want to be fruitful, but I think I am on somebody. I'm trying to be a lemon when I was created to be an orange. I want to pray for you. But most importantly, I want you to pray, to take this moment and say to the Father, Father, I am here. Say, Lord, let it click for me. Let it click for me. Remember, you are the one. The Bible says that one plants, one waters, but he gives the increase. So as a seed, you're saying, Lord, give the increase inside me. Abba, Father, we stand before you this afternoon. Daddy, the reason we stand is because we realize now that we can't sit anymore. The reason our hearts are open today is because we realize we cannot be quiet anymore. We have a part to play. We have a big part to play. Father God, we have, some of us not yet discovered what kind of a seed we are. We are trying to be every seed. We've made mistakes. We've struggled. We've fallen in messes when we tried to be something that we were not created to be. Thank you for reminding us this morning that we can be fruitful. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit will guide us, that he will teach us in areas of our lives that we have dominion, and it will be to your glory. We love you, Daddy. We worship you, even in this moment. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Next week we will be talking about how to be fruitful, or what to do to be fruitful. Today we just wanted to discover that we've been created to be. So next week we will have chapter 2, which speaks of how. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.